groups tomorrow, and covenant groups have a covenant to keep secrets. What is said within the group should not be spread beyond the group. It said that there was a covenant group, a Wesley covenant group that met, and they were going around the circle, and each one was sharing their various temptations and trials and sins until it came to the last person in the group to share. And he said, "My big temptation, trial, and sin is I am a gossiper, and I can't wait to get out of this place." Well, why do people gossip? Firstly, I need to make sure that you understand the word gossip, not in Greek, but in Tagalog, it's chismis, and that's also Spanish. Apparently, the Filipinos did not gossip until the Spanish got here. Chismis sounds like what it means, right? Chismis means like, sounds like what it means, right? There's a word for that, I guess. And in Burmese, atina pit bi odi. No? It sort of also sounds like that. Atina pit bi odi. Why do people gossip? Let me give some reasons. One is that they are under busy. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 said, "We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. Instead of being busy, they are busy bodies." So that's why people gossip. They're too under busy. If that were the case, then I would hope that there would be no chismus here because your professors intend to keep you as busy as possible. Second reason, nosiness. Do you know that English word? Well, it means what it sounds like. It means sticking your nose in other people's business where it does not belong. Sometimes we as Christians masquerade our nosiness as genuine concern for the spiritual welfare of our brother or sister, but really, it's not a spiritual concern, it's just nosiness. Third, a lack of conversational skills. Some people have not learned the art of talking about anything else except other people. So perhaps in table conversation when they were growing up, for some reason their family, the only thing they had to talk about when they were together was other people. Well, I've learned that we should start by talking about the weather and other things instead of talking about other people. Perhaps their parents never had other topics of conversation, so that's why they think that that's what conversation is, to talk about other people. For some people, chismis or gossip is just a hobby that they have. This was practically the only hobby of people in rural villages in your grandparents' or great-grandparents' time, before television, before internet, before other things came along to entertain people. Rural people, normally, this was their hobby, going from house to house and talking about other people in the village. So it was a rural phenomenon, but the fact that we have so much technology today, it only makes more rapid the spread of gossip by all the devices that we have. So it's not just a rural phenomenon anymore, is it? It's very much an urban phenomenon. We can Twitter or put on Facebook or other kinds of means gossip. And gossip becomes a form of bullying other people. It means that we are talking about someone else that degrades them, puts them down, and that becomes a form of being a bully. Another reason that people gossip is loneliness. People put other people down, they denigrate others, because it creates, by denigrating someone that you're obviously not talking to at the moment, putting other people outside, but drawing a circle around those that you're talking to. So if you're lonely enough, it creates a unity between yourself and the person that you're talking to about someone else. So it's like a kind of ganging up or forming a little group that is about someone else, someone who is not like us, someone who is worse than us, someone that we thinking we're better than them somehow in some way. Did you know what they did? These kinds of things. So it builds a click sometimes. Sometimes we build a click with a small group of people who are gossiping about the people who are outside of that clique of people. Gossipers gain intimacy with the one they are gossiping to at the expense of the ones they're talking about or gossiping about. So it creates a unity between people, but at the expense of those that we're talking about. It's an us against them mentality. Which means to say that another reason for gossip is simply pride. So we can say with our self-righteousness, thank God I'm not like that other person that you're talking about. So it's a kind of beam in your eye syndrome. You can't see your own faults, but you can see so clearly the speck in the of other people around us. So pride is somehow closely related. I don't know exactly how psychologically, but somehow pride is also related to low self-esteem. That we talk about people or we gossip about people because we ourselves are jealous of something in the other person. And so out of our jealousy, we talk about them, we put them down. It comes out of our own low self-esteem, or in other words, there's something deep and dark psychologically in us that makes us want to put other people down so that we can lift ourselves up. We weren't breastfed or something like that, I don't know. It makes it seem like we don't have enough self-esteem in ourselves, where we feel rejected, and so we talk about other people instead. It's a psychological problem, but it's also a spiritual problem, of course. It's a lack of love. It's a lack of respect toward our brothers and sisters in Christ when we are pulling them down and pushing ourselves up. It's a lack of love. It's a lack of respect. And so ultimately, for a lot of reasons, the gossip comes out of an evil heart. It's what Jesus was saying in Matthew, it's what James is saying in his epistle, that gossip comes out of an evil heart. Satan was the original whisperer, or the original gossiper, when he was saying bad things to Eve about God, wasn't he? But we devour each other when we gossip, and that gossip is usually toward, strangely, people who are our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, as someone has said, Christianity forms the only army that shoots its wounded ones. By gossip is one way of shooting them. Matthew says, as we read, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so if you're speaking evil of someone, it's because there is an evilness within ourselves. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And James says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? A few years ago, we had a guest professor, Dr. Truesdale, who gave the Nielsen Holiness Lectures from James. And this is where or how you get holiness from the Epistle of James. He's talking about a heart condition. So what are the repercussions of gossip? Well, the repercussions of gossip are that someone's reputation is damaged, someone's life is devastated, someone's life is perhaps even destroyed by gossiping about that person. And if you are the gossiper, eventually I think people will avoid being around you if you are known to be a big gossiper, because people begin to figure out the reality that if you're gossiping to me about him, when you're with him, you're probably gossiping with him about me. Get it? So ultimately, gossipers are apt to lose friends. And that's what one of the Proverbs said. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. So are you a trustworthy person? Can you keep others' secrets? Or do they know? Do they come to find out that anything that they might tell you goes in the ears of someone else? Sometimes among students even, there are so-called informants. And these informants have a pipeline to the administrators. And so a student might come to realize that if that informant student is told something by you, that soon one of the administrators will know it. Does that make you the most popular person on campus? Probably not. No one likes really informants. But ultimately, the church is damaged itself by gossip. How we talk about each other affects those who are looking for a genuine Christianity. So let's pause to think about what if you are a victim of gossip. And in the first place, all of us have been, or are, or will be victims of gossip. Interestingly, in the third epistle of John, he says that even he, John, this elder, this love-filled apostle or his follower, was himself the victim of gossip by Diotrephes. Wow, that's not a good thing to have your name in the Bible for, is it, that you gossiped about John? At the same time, one who is a victim of gossip should avoid being too paranoid about it. Paranoia about always thinking that you are being gossiped about is also a form of self-centeredness. To think that other people even care so much about you that they would gossip about you. And are you really sure that you're so important to other people that people are gossiping about you? Maybe that's a sign of too much self-importance in itself. But ultimately, if you're the victim of gossip, you cannot really control, it's impossible to control, what others say about you. So what can you do? You can't confront, you can't really argue, just go on with head held high about your own business. And here's advice from Romans chapter 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge if you're the victim of gossip. leave room for God's wrath. If your enemy is hungry, if the one who is gossiping about you is hungry, feed him. If the one who is gossiping about you is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So how do we prevent gossip? One observation is that leaders are prone sometimes themselves to be gossipers. My observation is that if there is any bigger gossiper in the church than the spouse of the pastor, it is the pastor herself or himself. So as a leader, we are given authority, but given authority not to tear others down, but to build others up, as Paul says to the Corinthians. And without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel goes down in the church or wherever it might be. So how do we take the wood out of the fire? How can we prevent gossip? Here are some ways. Prevent gossip in yourself. Speak good rather than evil of others. This is a very Asian way. Instead of giving someone directly a compliment that you might have for that person, tell the person's best friend the compliment. And then it makes it all the much the better when the person hears secondhand a compliment about them. Speak good rather than evil of others. Gossip about the good things that you hear other people say about people. Like, do you know what Dr. Cunningham said about you? Hopefully it's good. If I follow this sermon, it's good. And it's worth repeating because it will lift someone else up instead of tearing them down. To the Philippians, Paul says, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. And if you really do consider other people better than yourself, then you will not tear them down by gossip. Think before you speak. That's obvious, but really not, because that's not actually what we do. We often speak before we think. And then we should, in a sense, find our tongues red for having bitten them so much before we speak. Prevent gossip in our circle of friends. When someone starts to tell you something about someone else that's negative, you could say, excuse me, do my ears look like trash cans to you? Do my ears look like basurahan sayo? That should stop them, I would imagine. Find better topics of conversation than each other. It's really tragic that in the church of God, we find it easier to talk negatively about other people than to talk positively about Christ. Why is it so difficult for us around the table to not talk about spiritual things, to talk about Christ, to talk about theology, to talk about what we're learning from Dr. Eugenio and from Dr. Modine and Dr. Land, to make the conversation something that is Christ-centered? If we need to talk negatively about someone, if we really need to talk negatively about someone, can we talk negatively about the devil? Maybe he deserves it. So if we need to talk negative about someone, talk negative about the devil, because he's tempting us to talk negatively about other people. And we need to tear him down. The theologian Augustine had in Hippo a dining area. He had assistant priests and others around his table all the time for every meal. And it is said that he hung over his table this slogan: "Whoever thinks that he is able to nibble at the life of absent friends must know that he is unworthy of this table." Get it? Nibble at absent friends. It's said that Augustine rarely became angry, but he did become angry when people violated this commandment over his table. Third, prevent gossip in our community. How can we create a culture or a community of blessing rather than of cursing? And the answer is by the Holy Spirit descending upon us. So tongues of fire are talked about in a positive as well as negative way in the Bible. The apostles and the disciples, the 120, were gathered in the upper room after Jesus left them. And what do you think they were doing there in that upper room, waiting for the descent, as Jesus told them, of the Holy Spirit to come upon them? Do you think that maybe they were gossiping about other people who were not there in the upper room? That would be one thing that you'd expect 120 people to get, who just get together. Have you been in church fellowships like that? Well, what if the 120 people had been gossiping about each other? Do you think the Holy Spirit would have descended upon them? Not, right? But tongues of fire did come upon them, and it purified their tongues, purified their heart. And that was the goal of Pentecost: Christ-likeness, love, community. What enabled James and John to be no longer concerned about who would be on the right or who would be on the left, but instead went out giving their lives, if it took that, for the sake of the gospel? Pentecost. What would turn us from bickering, backbiting, gossiping people as a church? The descent of the Holy Spirit upon us. What would impel us to run from here is on that day with a message to the poor and a message to the lost. It would be the descent of the Holy Spirit upon us. What would evidence a real, true, genuine outpouring of the Holy Spirit among us? It would be the gift of tongues, that is to say, we would no longer be wagging our tongues and backbiting and talking about each other and gossiping about each other, but it would be a gift of tongues to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and to the poor. And we would not have time to sit around talking about each other and pulling each other down, because we would be consumed from on high with a desire to share the gospel with others. I've been asked sometimes in the course of APNTS and its beginning, have there been times of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon this community? I think about that. I think that the times when the Holy Spirit has descended upon this community have been the times when we have run from this place into Rowenus community And when a band of our students saw this, the children living homelessly under the bridge and didn't ask for permission or for money from the administrators to begin to minister to them and began to bring them onto the campus every Sunday and bathe them and dress them and feed them and play with them, that was a mark of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon this community. Because it meant that we weren't always just looking at each other and pulling each other down, but instead looking at the harvest fields that are around us, that are white for the harvest. And there's no time to talk about each other. There's too much to do for Christ in the world. Pentecost, if it would descend upon us today, would direct our attention away from ourselves and into the mission that God has given us. We're gathered in this community not to tear each other down, but to reach out to the poor with the good news of Jesus Christ. Bursting out from here, that would be a mark of Pentecost, that we'd prayed together. There was an old woman who was the daughter of a president, actually, but then a socialite in Washington, D.C., my sort of like my hometown. And she is said to have said, "If you can't say something nice about someone, come sit next to me." Is that the kind of person you want to have as your friend? Is that the kind of person that you want to initiate a conversation with? Is that the kind of person that you want to be known to be? No, of course not. Better, the old adage, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Amen. God bless you.